Welcome to episode number 189, A Conversation. Before I begin, I want to ask you if you will share this podcast with someone who you know might be suffering, or a parent or a leader who may need its message. So much of helping someone who suffers is understanding this illness. Today we're going to talk about those things we can do to help youth, young adults, and even adults who struggle with this illness. Last week I had a conversation with a wonderful man. He is the bishop of his ward in Georgia. Now, he has a large youth group, and thus a significant responsibility. Along with that large youth group, he has a deeply empathetic heart. Like most youth groups, this bishop has a few youth who deal with mental and emotional illness. Now, currently, the national trend runs as high as about 20%. That is a tough responsibility when you haven't really experienced mental illness in any way. It can be difficult to empathize when you don't fully understand what is happening emotionally with these youth. Not that he doesn't empathize. But like most youth leaders, he wants to know how he can help. What can he say to help these young people weather one of the most difficult trials of life? He deeply desires that they develop a relationship with the Savior and take upon themselves that covenant relationship. He desires to ease their burdens, pain, and suffering. And I understand, because I myself have been there. When you serve youth and young adults, you can feel helpless in so many ways. You cannot remove pain, suffering, or even remove burdens in the sense you can't reach into their souls and remove that which is causing the burden. The reality is that we can comfort, encourage, and point them to solutions, but in the end, salvation is individual, and so is the testimony that needs to develop. As I sat in conversation with this wonderful man for a few moments, we talked about his youth who are burdened with specifically with mental and emotional illness. I could almost hear the pain in his own voice when he spoke of them. They struggled deeply at times, and his own feelings of helplessness were evident as he talked. During our conversation, the same questions reoccurred over and over again. What can I do to help? How do I help these youth who are suffering so deeply from mental and emotional difficulties that I personally don't fully understand? As we sat there and talked, I mentioned a few things that can help a leader, a parent, someone working with youth, provide some solutions, comfort, and guidance to help these young people, and I realized that what I said might be helpful to those who listen. You might have heard me mention many of these things before, but they are certainly worth repeating. Guidance number one, it is an illness. Now, Elder Holland said the following in his conference address called Like a Broken Vessel. However bewildering this all may be, these afflictions, meaning mental illness, are some of the realities of mortal life, and there should be no more shame in acknowledging them than in acknowledging a battle with high blood pressure or the sudden appearance of a malignant tumor. End of that quote. We need to help the youth understand, and young adults, that what they are feeling is actually an illness. While their emotions can feel very real and true, they are not. They are indicators of an emotional illness, symptoms of a chemistry problem. Now, whether that chemistry problem is trauma, genetics, environmental influences, is really for a doctor to decide. The key is not to diagnose it by the leader. The key is to help them to identify the feelings as not true emotions. It is also important to help them understand that having a mental illness isn't their fault. Mental and emotional illness is just part of mortality, and one of the many types of weaknesses the Lord uses to teach His people. Ether 12:27 talks and speaks of these weaknesses and states that the requirements for relief are coming to the Savior. Guidance number two, you don't lose your testimony. We need to help the youth see that they have a testimony, but that the illness dampens or hinders their ability to access it. When we feel those symptoms of the illness, we should know that it can cover our testimony, meaning this. Our testimony is made up of spiritual experiences that we use as a foundation of faith. When we record our spiritual experiences in our mortal and spiritual brain, they aren't just pictures and facts. They are complete memories. With the emotion of the experience captured together with all of the information. When we feel our testimony, it is because we can recall these memories and the emotion that came with them. Actually, one of the main purposes of the Spirit is to help us recall the complete memories with the emotion embodied in the experience. When we have mental illness, the pathways to remembering these spiritual events, which are for the most part tied together with the emotions of joy, are far more difficult to feel. Because to feel them, you must be able to feel joy. And mental illness hinders our ability to feel joy. And when we do feel it, it tends to only last for short durations. When we can't easily access our spiritual memories, we can feel as though we have lost our testimony, or even that we never had one. That is simply not the case. The testimonial evidence remains with the spiritual memories. We just struggle to access it because our mortal body is being altered by our mental illness. If the youth can understand what is happening to them, it often can help them to understand and process why they don't feel their testimony, and that the power of mental illness has in disrupting their ability to feel the Spirit. This is one key to helping the youth to remain faithful through a tough episode. The youth should also know that they have access to the Savior to help them through the tough moments of their illness. They are never really alone, even though at times I understand it may feel that way. Mental illness, this is guidance number 3. Mental illness will make it difficult to attend church, read scriptures, attend seminary, and yes, even pray. And when I say difficult, it can feel impossible. The emotion in our body drives everything we do in life, and when our emotions are altered due to brain chemistry, we can lose interest and desire for a great many things, and that includes spiritual things. This doesn't mean that we have lost our desire for the gospel. It just means that we will have greater difficulty feeling and keeping the Spirit in our lives. It is not that the Spirit is not there. It is not that God is angry with us. It is that the pathways of faith and desire are blocked by our illness. We will not feel like we even desire to pray, desire to read, or do anything spiritual. And it takes significantly greater effort to do spiritual things when we suffer with mental illness. That doesn't mean that we don't do them. Part of the management process of mental illness is to keep doing spiritual things even when we don't feel like it. Sometimes we will only be able to read a few verses instead of a chapter. We might only pray with the words, "I need help." We might only attend sacrament meeting. One of the key things leaders can do is encourage participation at whatever level is possible and encourage and praise that effort. It is not just that the illness causes a lack of desire to attend to our spiritual needs. The problem magnifies itself when the person attempts spiritual activities without feeling the joy or spiritual renewal. When you can't feel joy doing the work of the Lord, the work becomes significantly difficult to do. Meaning going to church is more than simply overcoming a lack of desire. You will feel terrible at times as you do it. Now the mind struggles to comprehend this contradiction. A place of peace and joy has now become a place where you don't really feel peace or joy, but in brief moments. Going to church with these burdens and without the refreshing, renewing feelings of the Spirit can be tremendously difficult. So leaders, parents need to encourage and praise every little effort that is made to keep on the covenant path. They should also tell the youth that the Lord is pleased with their efforts during difficult times of trial, even when they may not feel His approval and even when they are only doing small things. Guidance number 4. Individuals with mental illness really must live a more disciplined life if they are to manage and maintain a healthy physical and spiritual life. Mental illness requires a very disciplined life. It is almost ironic that a disease that causes significant emotional chaos in your life and alters your desire needs significant discipline. We live by our emotions and desires, and when those feelings have gone astray, the answer is to be as disciplined as you can with your life, despite what you feel. This means being disciplined in what you eat, exercise, what you watch, how much you sleep, and really every portion of your life that might cause you additional stress. A disciplined life tends to reduce stress, and stress reduction allows for the illness to moderate. What an emotional illness needs is a boring life. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy life and all it has to offer. You just need to be conscious of stress levels and maintain a good balance. Keeping consistency in one's life will provide for reduced symptoms and overall greater well-being. Guidance number 5. Mental illness can feel identical to sin. If an individual is having difficulty feeling forgiven and continues to confess past sins, it can be a clue that they are suffering with mental illness. Now, this happens to me frequently, even now as I am older. The feelings of depression and anxiety can mimic almost identically what we feel when we sin. Individuals who suffer will tend to feel unforgiven and unworthy when they are not. One thing a leader or parent can do is to point this out to the youth, that the Lord would never cast your sins in your face consistently and desire for you to repent over and over again. That is a ploy of Lucifer and those who support him. Lucifer desires us to feel unworthy, unwanted, and unforgiven because he knows that if we are in this state, we are far more likely to give into temptation. It is important to understand that Lucifer appears to have greater access to introducing feelings of unworthiness, worthlessness, and hopelessness in a person who is suffering with mental illness. Youth and young adults need to understand how merciful the Lord is and that he would never continue to cause someone to feel the pains of sin over and over again. The Lord knows that this serves no good purpose. He desires that we repent, put the sin aside, and look forward, not backwards. Lucifer, however, wants to condemn every little misdemeanor in our lives. Unfortunately, mental illness, especially depression and anxiety, can feel so akin to sin that it is near impossible to tell the difference. Youth and young adults and even adults should be aware of this problem and be able to point it out in their lives. It can make a world of difference for them to understand what is causing them to feel so unworthy and hopeless. Guidance number 6. A person who suffers needs balance. Running faster than you have strength causes serious issues with mental illness and tends to increase the intensity of the symptoms. The Church of Jesus Christ is often geared towards doing more, being more, and serving more to obtain greater spirituality. While that works well for someone who has the capacity, for someone who does not, someone who has mental illness, it can and does create a greater problem in that it can exhaust limited resources and induce greater intensity of mental illness symptoms. While a person who suffers does need to be doing spiritual things, that capacity and balance will vary depending upon the person. Each person must determine their capacity and do what they can without exhausting physical and spiritual resources. This can be very difficult for someone with great desires to serve a mission or to dedicate significant time and energy to spiritual things. Often the desire does not match the capacity, and they attempt to increase their efforts spiritually and in so doing cause greater distress within their illness. It can be so difficult to create an appropriate balance with great desires to serve. However, a leader or parent must help the person to see that emotional balance is critical to spiritual balance and that the Lord fully understands our desire to serve and our limited capacity. This often comes true when the desire to serve a full-time mission crashes into the walls of mental and emotional illness. To a youth with great desires to serve, it can be very difficult to understand why a loving God would not remove the mental illness, at least for the time frame of the mission. They can question if they have sufficient faith, sufficient desire, and wonder even if God exists, and if he does, why does he limit them in this way? The answer is more simple than one might understand. The mental illness was sent to be a guiding influence in their life, a weakness to bring them closer to the Savior. If the Lord has allowed the weakness to remain, then he has simply chosen for the young person to serve a service mission or move on in life without missionary service, excusing them from it. If the Lord chooses not to heal, then that is the Lord's plan for them, meaning that the Lord has allowed for the mental illness for wise purposes. The Lord is making a specific choice in their lives, and they should accept the Lord's choice, knowing that the Lord is omniscient, loving, and can see the end from the beginning. He also knows exactly what we need during this earth life to be able to return to the Father. Mental illness is just one of those methods the Lord uses to teach and train his sons and daughters. Yes, the lesson feels very harsh at times. But I have said many times, this life was not intended to be a vacation, but a spiritual boot camp of sorts. We are here to learn to become like the Father and the Savior, and that road is not easy. Some of us need mental illness to allow us to develop spiritually in ways that are needed for salvation. Guidance number 7 is about healing. We should never stop seeking the healing blessings of the Lord. I have had hundreds of minor miracles, along with a few major ones, as I have navigated the bumpy road of a life with mental illness. Just because we are not fully healed doesn't mean that we cannot be partially healed or even temporarily healed. The healing process can take significant time, and often it will require our best efforts before the Lord extends his hands to help. Healing is more often a long-term process with mental illness rather than the sudden miracles we see during the Savior's mission. Now, don't get me wrong. Those type of miracles happen every day, but they are generally not the method the Lord prefers to use. The Lord prefers small miracles over time to allow our faith to grow and develop. One large miracle may be easier to forget than many small ones. Small miracles also allow for our growth and agency and keep us in the narrow path. We should be looking for the Lord in our daily lives and accept the miracles that do come. As we do this, we will develop rock-solid faith in the Lord. The one thing I can promise is that miracles do happen every day and that every person will be healed according to the Lord's timing. Finally, guidance number 8, find the purpose. We all have a purpose in this life. We all have a mission. Finding that purpose and mission is critical to our happiness. While mental illness may not seem much of a part of that mission, it can prove helpful in refining our lives, deepening our compassion and love, and becoming full of charity. Ultimately, it can help us find our mission. However, it can also harden us, cause anger and fear, and overcome us. The Lord is always willing to help us, gently guide us, and to lead us to green pastures. If we stay with the Lord and continue to give effort, the Lord will in turn provide us miracles, moments, and spiritual experiences we could have in no other way. Yes, it will be hard to find and listen to the Spirit of the Lord, but the Lord can speak to us in many ways in our lives, and if we listen, we will be able to hear Him even when we are suffering immensely. Most of all, the youth, the young adults need to know that the Lord cares for them and will always respond to their petitions. Now, as my conversation ended with this wonderful man, I realized just how important it is to understand mental and emotional illness and how we can better help those who are suffering. I realized that many parents, leaders, and those whose responsibilities in this life, include the youth and the young adults, need help understanding what is happening and then how can they help. I hope my personal message today can provide some of that understanding, and I hope you will take the opportunity to send this podcast unto someone who might need it in their lives. Until next week, do your part so that the Lord can do His.